Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I decided on this lectionary scripture reading for today and began looking through libraries of images to think about which ones would help us consider what Jesus has to say here within the Sermon on the Mount and here this Sunday in our world, it was quickly obvious that this was going to be complex. Almost all the images showed beautiful pictures of going the extra mile, which were about trying harder to be better than the next person, so that we can win a race, so that we could climb a ladder. Those clearly were not right. Walking the extra mile is about persistence and drive, yes, but the point of the walk isn't about being better or stronger than the next person. Finally, I came across this image that looks weary and worn, but still stands strong. This is the image that tells us what going the extra mile in the way Jesus describes it really feels like. Jesus was talking to people who were oppressed by a nation that had taken them over. The Roman government was in charge of their land and their government, and that oppression included things like being forced to carry the pack of a soldier for a mile. There was a limit. There were rules to what was appropriate oppression. Not more than a mile. And lawsuits, you can sue someone for almost everything they owned, but not absolutely everything. You couldn't take their cloak, only their coat, and all their possessions. And vengeance had to be measured, an eye for an eye, not death for an eye. Those were the civilized rules of oppression. So Jesus listens and looks at what is happening, and then he says, the way to stand up to your oppressors is to serve them by your own choice. To fight their oppression with your willingness to go the extra mile. To show them that your service is your choice. That their power is not compelling you to walk. The way to stand up to your oppressor is to make them see you. To testify with yourself that what you see in them is not a stick figure, but a human being, and that that's what they should see in you, too. One of the complexities of this passage is that people have sometimes thought that it meant we were supposed to take abuse, to accept status as less than, to be a doormat. But this is not what Jesus was saying. When he says, turn the other cheek, he's talking about standing tall, not accepting the insult of a slap given to one less, but standing upright in the face of it, saying, I am a human being, and you cannot make me less by hitting me. This is one of the passages that makes up the core of the nonviolence teachings that were so central to Jesus' identity. They've been also part of the development of the nonviolence teachings of leaders like Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Historically, there have been those who see Dr. King's espousal of nonviolence as soft and gentle, remaking him in an image that is more palatable to us. We like imagining the world he talks about where all the children play together no matter their color of skin. That's a comforting image. But there are other times, other speeches, other letters, other sermons where he says that white people defining our desire for peace as one in which there is no conflict, instead of peace witnessed to by the presence of justice, that image is getting in the way of the journey. Dr. King's message wasn't soft and weak at all. He called for what is actually the hardest journey, one that cares both for the oppressor and the oppressed, one that believes that my salvation and your salvation are all wrapped up together, one that prays for people who seem to be benefiting from a system that is actually abusive of everyone trapped in it. What does that mean? It means that even the people who look like they have the power are broken and hurting in ways that they don't even realize, because the system has perverted the image of God in them. Sometimes when we hear the names of people like Dr. King or Mother Teresa, we shut down, thinking, well, I will never be them. We will not be them. That's true. But it's also true that every single day we have the chance to decide to be who God created us to be people who exemplify service and love when power is trying to make its way into our lives. As Steve Gradenis said in his article in National Catholic Register, it's no secret that history looks very different in the rearview mirror than it did through the windshield. For that matter, the angle of your mirror matters too. If we had been among the Jewish crowds cheering Jesus at the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, who would we have called for on Good Friday? Jesus or Barabbas? If we had lived in pre-Civil War America, would we have accepted slavery or opposed it? And if we opposed it, what would we have been willing to do about it? If we had lived in Third Reich era Germany, would we have supported Hitler or opposed him? What would we have done about it? If we lived in occupied Poland or Netherlands, would we have hidden Jews in our basement or turned them over? If we lived during or before the civil rights era, would we have accepted Jim Crow segregation or opposed it? And what would we have done about it? Would we have supported civil disobedience? It's easy to look back and say, I would have called for Jesus. I would have opposed Hitler. I would have supported Martin Luther King Jr. What we really mean, of course, is that we hope we would. But what would we have really done? Who can say? This week, I watched as a pastor from Virginia stood in front of the church he serves and gave an interview on TV. His church runs a shelter for people to stay overnight when the temperature drops below 32 degrees. One morning this week, the guests of the shelter were leaving the church, and they were surrounded by immigration officials, and six of the people were taken away. And the pastor was giving his interview to say, I just need people to know that people will die because of this. The next time the temperature drops below 32 degrees, people will be afraid to come in from the cold. People will die because of this. Standing and speaking may be what the extra mile looks like today, whether we are the people who have the power, willingly setting it aside to walk alongside those who are oppressed, or whether we are the people who have decided that the way to fight those who oppress us is to keep on walking on our own two feet. Whoever we are, the decision to walk the extra mile needs to be made with eyes wide open to the challenge we are accepting. Because these are the steps born of a refusal to be invisible in a world that doesn't want to see. The extra mile, when we decide to walk it, is made up of the hardest steps we will ever take. But at the same time, these are the steps that can set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.